Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Right, Tulani, tell me exactly what you think about that song. And be honest.
It's not really my bread and butter. Like, I love my hip hop. I didn't really like the song.
I can't fault you on it because I didn't like it either. I don't know how it even got into this playlist, but it was there. And anyway, I guess it gives us a little bit of an opportunity to relax and unwind a little bit before this great conversation. So for all of those who are just joining us, welcome to Future CEOs. Again, who are future CEOs? If you have a business and you are aspiring to push and grow that business, well, this is the show for you. If you are then also in a corporate environment and you want to fast track your career, Future CEOs is the show for you. So welcome. Tulani is here in studio and he is going to be really, I guess the right word is also empowering, right? He's going to be empowering us with by sharing some of his experiences and some of the knowledge that he has developed as he has gone along on his really a startup journey. And yeah, this segment is called Startup of the Week. Let's get straight into it. Tulani, who are you? Tell our listeners why we have you in studio specifically.
My name is Tulani Ntshunje, born and bred, butter, toasted, eaten in the East End. Born to a thoroughbred Xhosa woman, rather, who's very religious.
All right.
A Swati dad who's very conservative, is a traditional dude.
Okay.
My parents, they divorced, I think, when I was 5 or 6. Then
all
my
right.
mom moved to Soweto, but I still stayed with my dad in East End, Tembisa to be precise. Went to Space Age Academy for primary school. Completed it in Bramley Primary School. Then I moved to Northview High School. And that is where the entrepreneurial bug bit, I suppose. And my first business was, I mean, imagine in a school of like 1,500 students, the tech shop could practically cater for like 300 students.
All right.
And there were most of the girls, in fact, in my class couldn't run fast enough to the tech shop to get their lunches. So what I would do is that I would take their orders and they would pay me 50 cents each for me to go and get food for them.
Very, very good.
Yeah, and that would sort of take care of at least half of my lunch.
So lesson number one, and you learned it at such a young age, is look at what the needs are of a particular target market and that's where you service, right?
Yeah, yeah. In fact, we... Well, then I didn't even think it's entrepreneurship.
Sure.
I was just doing it for fun, I suppose, and my savings account, the very little that I had. Yeah.
Now, off air, we were busy talking, and you described how you went from there into really becoming a loan shark. Tell us about that, without incriminating yourself, perhaps.
Yeah, so the running to the tech shop and getting 50% per order wasn't cutting it for me.
Okay.
So I wanted to do something which would yield or bring in like bigger profits.
Sure.
So the second business wasn't actually my idea that I actively thought of and came up with the business plan and all of that. I think one day I just had like a lot of coins, like 50 rand worth of, and a friend of mine asked for 1 rand. It's like, I need to buy a packet of chips.
Mm.
So I told him, if I give you this 1 rand, when you repay it, it has to come with interest. So I was like, yeah, I'll give you 2 rand, second break. He's like, oh, okay, cool.
100%. That's that's a good interest rate.
Yeah. But he never paid the money. And yeah, that was one of the biggest lessons I learned with the business. I mean, getting the payments is like you only mess with the people that you're not scared of.
Sure.
Yeah. Because he didn't pay. So I was like, okay, my new target market will be the ladies now.
So hold on. Traditionally, loan sharks, if they don't get paid, they resort to less than friendly manners and ways in which they get their money out of people. Is this what you did with your friend?
Not really. No, I didn't.
Forgiveness. Is that your tool at that point? Huh?
Yeah, I didn't have the balls to do it. Yeah, I was scared of the guy, so I couldn't.
Right. Okay.
And unfortunately, going forth, I never really had like a similar problem because, you know, with the women, you give them 2 rands today, they pay you your 350 tomorrow.
Mm.
Give them 20 rands today, they pay you your 35 rands after 2 days because the business was built on zero knowledge of how interest rates worked.
Okay.
Yeah, but fortunately, so was the target market. So I could charge them practically anything I wanted to charge.
Well, what's interesting about it, though, is that there was a natural vision of what you could be doing. And I think sometimes we try and be too complex when we're looking at a particular service on how we can monetize this thing, how can we get funds from it. Yours was very logical, it was a simple process, right?
Yeah, it was. And the market was easy to break into because there was no competition there. And, you know, the thing is, high school kids, well, at least during my day, I mean, your parents would give you like 10 rands or 20 rands on average for lunch.
Sure.
And I knew that most of these guys would want to eat during break and they would want to go to a fancy, I don't know, fast food takeaway joint after school. And when you look at the money that they were getting from home, they couldn't practically do it. So that is where I came in. It's like, you want to go to McDonald's after school? Well, here's 30 bucks, except it will come back as 50 rands tomorrow.
Wow.
And you know, some of the things that we did is that my friend also jumped on the bandwagon. So what we would do is that we know Ayanda gets 20 rand pocket money.
All right.
Give her 10 rands today, ask for 20 rands tomorrow. And then after she pays you, she doesn't have money for lunch. And that is why I come in and give her 20 rands and then ask for 40 bucks the following day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so once you got in, it's like...
Well, very, very shrewd of you. and it really has served you, hasn't it? So, I mean, that was then, this is now. You are one of the young people who are involved with Aware2 Project. Now, they're doing some really, really great work. Tell us about that and the experience, and then let's fast forward to this business that you're developing and growing right now. The Aware2 Project experience, how has that been?
Oh, okay. First, I'll give you a brief history of, like, sort of my life after high school. And
yeah,
how,
sure.
Yeah. So in 2009, that was my first year out of high school. A friend of mine and myself, we registered a construction company, which never really took off. But from that, like, a lot of invaluable lessons were learned. I think sort of over the years, in fact, in the 4 years that we were trying to do this construction company thing, I sort of learned that to run a successful business, you need to be a good leader. And good leadership for me is like when you have a vision that is deeply rooted in purpose and conviction.
Sure.
And we lacked all of that. I mean, for us, it was like, okay, quick money-making scheme, and then we living a vida loca. We were spending a lot of money, which we weren't even tracking. Mm. We were paying bribes for people to secure tenders for us.
You were paying bribes.
Yeah.
I think that's the first time someone has been on our show admitting that they paid a bribe. Okay, interesting.
Yeah. And then fast forward to 2013, I looked back on the sort of 3-4 years that I'd been out of high school trying to run this construction company thing. Mm. And you know, Einstein defines insanity as doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results.
Sure, sure.
So I figured that, okay, if all of what I was doing in the past few years is a recipe for disaster, if I can just do the exact opposite of it, that could be the recipe for success. And which is what prompted the move to the Aware2 Project. So I went to Aware2 in 2013. This was with no business idea, no experience, no fancy qualifications, no funding, with nothing pretty much. Went into Aware2. I think for the first 3 months, I was sort of attending their workshops on Saturdays. And I'll tell you the one thing that really, really got me to go to Aware2 is because they promised that if you come to a presentation, we'll reimburse your taxi fare.
Ah, okay.
So I was like, okay, well, I've got nothing to lose. And I went there. So that 20 rand was the difference between me joining Aware2 and me not joining Aware2.
It's what is so good about Aware2 is this call, that you don't have to have an idea. You don't have to have all these bits and pieces in place that so many seem to expect. If you just have that hope, that drive, that little bit of something, that little spark inside of you, come to Aware2. That's really their call, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so going back to your question, that my experience with Aware2. So 2013, the first business I started with them was a car wash.
Okay.
Which was an eco-mobile car wash. We started in Constitution Hill, which is where our office space is, in the basement parking. In less than a month, I had the first employee.
All right.
So we expanded quickly into the Maboneng precinct, which is the east side of Joburg. And in Maboneng, I think in 3 months, I had 5 employees. We did the car wash thing until 2014 March. And April 2014, that is when we started Five Star Fire.
Okay.
Which is what I'm doing right now. And Five Star Fire is a fire protection company that specializes in the supply and servicing of fire equipment.
All right.
Like fire extinguishers, hose reels. We even service fire pools.
Well, then you've got a market.
Yeah, so.
And I'm pretty sure you could probably charge quite a lot there.
Yeah, I'm sure we
would. There as well. You guys have got some big clients that you're serving. Name drop. Brag a little.
So most of it is through our fulfillment partners, which is CrossFire Management, okay. Who do pretty much what we do, except they've been doing it for like 25 years now.
All right.
So we've worked with Nestle. We've done work for Mercedes-Benz. We've done work for Bitvest. We've done work for Pick and Pay, to mention but a few.
Tell me, where did this idea come from? So a lot of people, they want to find an idea. Where did this particular idea come from?
I think it goes back to our Waiter's Call, that you don't even have to come with an idea, okay, or your funding or whatever. We have what you call MAVS in our, which is, I think people out there would call maybe a business coach or a mentor.
Sure, sure.
So this guy, Claude, who was one of the MEVs at our, which is the one that actually developed the plan behind Five Star Fire.
All right.
Well, unfortunately, he left to pursue other opportunities, but now I work with a very great MEV that I like so much, Denise Thomas.
Okay.
Yeah. So
thanks, Denise.
Yeah. So we didn't even know, like, we didn't develop the plan. We didn't know anything about it until last year in April. But I think 16, 17 months later, Five Star Fire is still going, and we have like 4 people in the team. So,
okay.
Yeah, big ups to Denise.
In terms of developing an idea for a business, what are some of the things that you really do need to look at very carefully in formulating an idea? So I think I go back to what you've just shared. You looked at those girls and you said, well, they can't run as fast as the boys, so there really is a need for me to assist them to get these products before they run out. So that was a really nice one. Then you speak about your friend who gave or needed a rand, and you charged him a little bit of interest. So just a natural progression into these businesses. What would you say is just one or two criteria for a good idea?
I think a diplomatic response would be look for something that you're passionate about.
Okay, don't give us a diplomatic response. Also, I don't want to hear passion. That's such an overused word. Okay.
Yeah, it is. I think this may sound cliche, but it's true. I mean, when you spot the opportunity, if there's a gap in the market, if there's a need, I think entrepreneurship is solving problems for profit.
Okay, very
so
nice.
So when you see a problem and you can turn that into a profit, then hey, go for it. Whether you're passionate or not, if there's an opportunity, I'm sure you can hire people that are passionate about it who can run it for you, and then you can just sit back and sort of reap the rewards.
So I liked it. So entrepreneurship is solving problems for profit.
Yeah.
Great, great definition. I've never heard that before. Is that something you picked up from Uwetu? Are these guys indoctrinating you?
I may have picked it up from someone inadvertently.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe. So that's one element. One or two more just pointers?
What else? Let me just think. I won't go to passion.
Okay. I've heard someone say, scratch your own itch. What do you think of that?
Scratch your own itch. Okay. Yep. So this is what you don't like, and you work on the hypothesis that there's a lot of other people that don't like it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think I've had Dr. Miles Monroe, may his soul rest in peace, saying that if you're looking for your purpose, that one thing that really angers you is it, because you see what it is and you also see it for what it could become. So I think that is true, yeah.
Very, very, very good answer.
Yeah.
No, I can see why you're doing so well. Let's talk a little bit about then the entrepreneurial journey. So you have started and you've developed in a certain kind of way. Then you get to one or two ups and downs. Tell us your greatest high so far, and then tell us your worst, lowest point. Let's start with the greatest high. What was that moment that you said yes?
The greatest high is when... So I'll tell you, when we started, our industry is heavily legislated.
Okay.
So we had to go through SAPS audits before we got a certificate that we could start trading. That took us like an odd 3 or 4 months before we got it.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah. I think it has to do with a bit of bureaucracy in there. But when we got it, that was like one of the highs. But more than that, I think when we started, how we did our sales was like a lot of cold calling. And we had to make 2,000 calls.
Oh, wow.
To make 3,800. And when we started partnering with CrossFire, So we started talking with these guys like this week, and then a week later we invoiced them like 21,000. That was my greatest high.
Just seeing that the yeah. check or the books balancing a little, because I mean 2,000 phone calls, I'm sure they would have cost you close to what you made.
Exactly.
Okay, and so that was a high.
Yeah.
You've got some lows. Talk us through one or two of the lows.
So the lows, I think during that time when we were making the 2,000 calls. I mean, there's a lot of rejection naturally.
Sure.
That was one of my lowest moments. What else? Another thing would be, Jesus, just so many, but nothing is coming up.
I guess let's just pull it back to the support that you get from Aware2. Would you recommend that anyone that has an idea at least find some kind of support like you got there? Because I guess that tempers the low, doesn't it? It doesn't make it as difficult as... to deal with, right?
Yeah. Look, I read a quote somewhere that you need to learn from other people's mistakes because you won't live long enough to make them all yourself.
Okay, very nice.
So my mev, Denise Thomas, she's had like tons of businesses, decades of corporate experience, and some of the mistakes that she made, I don't have to go through because, I mean, she's hit the wall so many times. Like, okay, she knows what to do and what not to do and when to do it, how to do it. So, you know, I used to tell my friends back in high school, like, if I pass my trick, then anyone else can pass.
All right.
So if I were to have turned me into this, I think they can help anyone.
Okay, no, very, very nice. There is one, or, well, let me say it this way, rather, a challenge that you've had, or one or two challenges that you've had that you have learnt on your own. What are they, and what were the lessons that you came that came out of that?
What I've learnt on my own.
Yeah, so because I mean Denise, and I'm sure she's very good. She couldn't have taught you everything.
Yeah.
So what have you learnt by bumping your head?
So I think communication is very key.
Okay.
So I think during my car wash days, we would sort of have issues with the guys that I worked with.
All right.
But we wouldn't necessarily address them when they happened. Until one day when I've had enough, I'll just explode and bring up stuff that happened like 6 months ago.
All right.
Yeah, but from that experience, I know that is not the way to go about it. So whenever we have stuff that is going not like it, I sort of address it to the guys like right there and then, but in a respectable manner. I mean, leadership being in a position of leadership is nothing that you have to be obnoxious about, but we do it like we communicate in a very open and respectful way.
Is that a culture that you try to implement from the very, very beginning? Is it something that you had to, after the fact, after a couple of blow-ups, maybe even in your current business, is it something that you had to try and implement after the fact, or where did that come together?
Well, it came together. Yeah, well, normally, in fact, it happened after I've had like a couple of crazy incidences. And again, Denise Thomas was sort of reaffirming those lessons, like, if XYZ happens, this is how you address it. And now we're trying to build that culture into everyone else who joins the 5-star fire team. It's like whenever they have issues, and instead of addressing it to the person, they bring it to us. It's like, okay, let's get them all in one room, talk about it, and then you give that person like the resources that in future when this happens, this is how you go about handling it. And yeah, so this is like a culture that we're trying to instill in everyone who joins 5-star fire.
I guess the outstanding question or you know, little piece of the puzzle that I'm still missing in all of this is how you do it. So I can see someone pulling people into a room, maybe 10 or 20 or 50 staff members, and then they speak at them. Instead of perhaps listening to them, how do you facilitate that conversation? Because that's what it really needs to be, a conversation. How do you go about doing it? Give us the how.
Okay, so I'll tell you for one, you know, silent and listen have the exact same letters. And it's probably for a good reason. So yeah, we ask a lot of questions, like we probe into the matter to find out what exactly happened. But we also listen to the people's point of view. And that sort of helps you understand how people think, how people reason, why they do what they do and how they do it. And, you know, more often than not, when you ask the right questions, or not even asking the right questions, if you listen, they end up solving their own problems.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I guess there's another final point on this particular point is how do you not take it personally? How do you, as the leader, not take it personally?
Well, yeah, that's a really tough one.
Because it's so close to you, right? That's what your business is. It's your baby. So how do you not take this stuff to heart?
I'd be lying if I said I don't take it to heart.
Okay.
Thing is, whenever something happens, like, I do not react, but I do respond to it.
Okay, so react. Reacting is not necessarily good, but responding in an appropriate manner is the way to go about doing it.
So when something happens now, like, I'll take the time to calm down, sort of internalize everything, think about it. If this is how I act, this could be the repercussions. Mm. If this is what I do, this is what could happen. And yeah, like, sometimes the guys do stuff that really gets me fumed up.
Mm.
But if I take time out to think about it, think it through, I sort of calm down.
Okay.
And then my response will be something that is very reasonable, something that will accommodate, like, all parties.
A little bit more measured, right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for for being so open. Let's talk growth very quickly. How do you grow a business? How are you growing your business?
So, one, I think the business is not really the papers that you get from CIPRO when you register a company.
Sure.
The business is the people that actually do the daily work in the business.
Mm.
So how you grow the business is, I grow myself, like, personally. We try as much as we can to always uplift or develop the guys. And yeah, from that, naturally, you'll start seeing the growth. But more than that, it's growth is something that needs to be deliberate, like, in how we formulate strategies, how we do stuff. Like, I think doing the right things, even the smallest things, every day, it sort of leads to, like, the bigger growth. But yeah, the plans that we have in place, it's stuff that is very deliberate. We actually put so much thought into it. We put in so much work into it, and yeah.
Okay, no, thank you. Thank you for sharing. We're running out of time, so let me just quickly throw one or two words at you, and you decide which one you want. But to get ahead in business, do you need skills or do you need connections? You can only pick one. Skills or connections?
I think skills are more sustainable.
Skills are more sustainable? That's a really good answer. Name two skills, just to wrap up this conversation, that those who are listening need to develop as quickly as possible in order to make sure that their businesses are a success.
I think you need, the first skill is the ability to learn.
Okay. So ongoing, continuous consumption of knowledge with the view to learning, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the second skill is, there's 10 things in my mind now.
Pick one.
Okay, the ability to unlearn.
Very nice. Very nice. Chalani, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here in studio. I'm sorry that time is moving so very quickly, but thank you for being really, a beacon of hope to all of us who are trying to grow our businesses and really do what you are doing. Thank you very, very much for joining us.
No, thank you for having me.
All the best for the future.
Thanks.
All right, that is Future CEOs. We will then see you next week, same time, same place, same content, same empowerment. See you all then.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.